Church and we gather like this, that's what's going on.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, I'm talking about the find joy there. There's nothing like the presence of my God.
Father, thank you for your awesome presence in this house, always. We are ever so glad, ever cherishing of your presence. Thank you because there's joy, there's peace, there's healing, there's deliverance. Even in the midst of that awesome, tangible presence of yours, we are grateful. We don't ever take it for granted. Thank you because even now you grant me utterance to speak as your mouthpiece, ministers of a power that only you can supply. Thank you, because there's no way that any one of us goes back the same way we came. We are strengthened, we're encouraged, we're built up, we're instructed in righteousness. Even everyone watching, whenever, wherever, thank you for your tangible presence upon them. It says in Acts 10:44, as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit fell upon those that heard him. Thank you for the falling of the Holy Ghost upon all those that hear, in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 5, if you will, 1 John chapter 5, very quickly. And I'll continue what I began a while back on operating in strong faith. I'm not even sure I can finish today, but we'll get somewhere. Amen. Operating in strong faith. 1 John chapter 5 is our main text. And it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'll read that again. For whatever is born of God overcomes, is present continuous, means overcame yesterday, overcomes today, will overcome tomorrow. Can I have an amen? Amen. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we began by sharing very strongly that the problem you have is not what is come against you in the world. Amen. In the world, we can't escape troubles. We can't escape challenges. We can't escape all kinds of things that will come across that are not what we will desire to face. So your joy, your victory, your triumph is not going to be in the world, or it's not going to be because of the circumstances in the world favoring you, but it's simply going to be because your faith is strong. Can I have an amen? That's why he said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That means that whatever is born of God is programmed to overcome the world. Just like somebody told me years ago when I was discussing how airplanes fly. Because every time I look at an airplane, I see a miracle. That's me. I know it's science, but I see a miracle. I keep looking at it. I look at how many people enter it, and how it's going to go up and stay up for hours sometimes and all of that. And I keep thinking, wow, how does that happen? You know, I'm sure to some other people, oh, no, it's so simple and all that. But I'm happy to stay the way I am. So I look at it and I keep thinking, wow, how does that happen? And when you have all kinds of things and storms and all of that, I worry that how come it doesn't drop? So I was discussing that with a pilot, and the guy said to me, look, the way this thing is designed, it is designed not to crash. It's designed not to fall. He said the normal status of the airplane is that it's never going to have an accident. It's never going to drop from the skies. He said, so the only time, or most of the time, that you ever hear of an air crash, he said it is an human error or a human error. It means that the pilot made a mistake. He did something he should not have done. So the same way, the Bible says that whatever is born of God overcomes the world. It means that the status quo of whoever and whatever is born of God is that they will overcome. But the word overcome also automatically implies that they will have things to overcome. Are you getting what I'm saying? The fact that it says that they overcome, or it overcomes the world, means that automatically there will be challenges to be overcome. So you are not going to have a world that is just hunky-dory, as some call it, that's just smooth and there are no issues, there are no challenges whatsoever. There will be challenges, but much more than the challenges, you need to remember that you are programmed to overcome. Can I have an amen? The Bible says that the righteous man falls 7 times, but what? Rises again. Hallelujah. He rises again. So the fact is not in the falling. The real deal is in the rising. The fact that we don't give up, the fact that we are not in despair when we face issues, the fact that we stand there and we believe God, that what God has said concerning us is true, which is that I am born of God, therefore I overcome the world. And then the Bible makes it clear to us, it says, listen, the key to that victory is what? Our faith, our believing in what God has said. And that means that if I can find a way to stay in a perpetual place of believing what God has said, of resting upon God's promises, it means that I can also find a way of being in perpetual rest. Are you still there? It means that if I can just be in that state where my faith is ever strong, then I can always live without despair. Listen, it is not impossible to live without anxiety. It is not impossible to live without fear. It is not impossible to live and not ever be sad and depressed. Can I have an amen? It is actually the right, the inheritance, the birthright of a believer to live in those ways. Hallelujah. So if we can, because again, remember, I'm just recapping very quickly. Remember that when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said the devil has desired to have you and sift you. In Luke chapter 22, he wants to sift you like wheat. The devil is ready for you. He's going to deal with you. But the interesting thing for me is that Jesus did not say, I have bound the devil. Jesus did not say, I have prayed against the problems and they will not come. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What was he saying? He's saying when your faith, I pray, the prayer point for me is that you will abide in faith, that your faith will not fail you, because as long as your faith is strong, you will overcome whatever. And I'm so confident that when, as long as your faith is strengthened, you will overcome. He says, so when you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. When you have realized the power of faith and your faith has seen you through, then you will be able to strengthen your brethren the same way also and encourage them that, hey, the faith that we have in God will grant us the victory. Therefore, Peter writes, he says, we have received great and precious promises, whereby we take on the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world. So Peter could write that now. He's now saying, hey, listen, by holding on to God's word, we take on divine nature. And we escape all of the troubles of the world. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. John 16 chapter. So what we'll be laying down is why you need that kind of strong faith. And we said it's because the strong faith, the stronger your faith is and can stay that strong, the better for you in terms of living a happy and a peaceful life. Can I have an amen? So he said what? In Isaiah 26, I believe, and verse 8, he said, you will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect. I like the word perfect. Perfect means nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing shaken even for a moment. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if I can keep my focus upon God, if my eyes can be upon his promise, if my heart can be rested upon what he has said, he said, then he will keep me in perfect peace. Are you there? I told before, years ago, I was on a journey. And I was driving, a friend, an associate, was beside me, and we went both to do some follow-up in Ife. See a few folks, you know, cheer them up, and then on the way back, you know, one of them said, oh, can my friend follow you to Ibadan? And we said, sure, why not? So this lady got in the back seat, both of us were in front, I was driving, and we're at top speed, Ife, Ibadan Road. We're going down the road, and suddenly the tire busted. And as the tire busted, both of us shouted, praise God. And we brought the car to a halt, got down to change the tire. We looked at it, we saw the tire had busted on high speed. And if you're a driver or you read the news and all of that, you know that that can be a very dangerous situation to have been in. For your tire to bust when you're on the highway. And all we did was shout, praise God. And both of us shouted, of course, you don't re-ask. You don't realize that kind of thing. You know, you just, it's what is inside of you that comes out. That's why I say if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So in that day of adversity, what came out was praise God. And we got down, got the car to a halt, got down to change the tire. And the lady said, you people are very strange. We said, why? She said, tire busted at top speed and all you shouted was praise God, not yepa. Are you there? But you keep him in what? Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. John 16, are you there? The last verse, verse 33. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Please note that. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He said, I said these things to you so that you will know that in me, where? Anybody? Where will you have peace? He said, in me. People have been looking for peace at their job, looking for peace in their spouse, looking for peace in their neighbors, looking for, listen, the first place you get your peace and secure your peace is in him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The first place to secure your peace is in God. You see, that peace, the guarantee of peace is in only one place and one person. Are you still there? Anybody has worked colleagues that have made you mad before? You've worked with people that just really annoy you. You were thinking within yourself, if I was not a Christian, you know what I'm talking about? Anybody self, has your spouse ever made you mad before? And you were thinking, thank God for God. Because he said what? In me you will have peace. He said, outside of that, in the world you will have tribulation. Tribulation is serious trouble. He said, you have serious trouble in the world. He said, but still be of good cheer. Be of good cheer means you are still smiling. Everything is happening, but you are still smiling. You are still sweet. You know when you are whistling? You are still going about as if nothing is wrong. He said, why? Because I have overcome the world. Meaning that no matter what the world throws at you, I have already given you the victory. As somebody put it, he said, read the end of the book, we win. It's like watch the end of the movie, we win. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So don't let anything in the middle move you. Are you still there? You know, I watch movies that are very, very intriguing, very moving, you know, with serious suspense. I don't go to the cinema. So it's if you go to the cinema to watch a movie first that you can't fast forward. You understand? But when you are watching the movie yourself, you can fast forward. So I've watched movies where the anxiety is there. I just fast forward. I go to the end. I discover that the actor won't die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then I come back and start again. Because now, no matter what you throw at the actor, I am smiling. Because I know nothing is going to happen. This guy will not die. That one will not die. This one will still be there at the end. So I can watch the movie and enjoy myself. As they are throwing and shooting at the guy, I'm laughing. I saw him at the end. Are you still there? That's what Jesus is trying to tell you. He's trying to tell you that the end of the movie is that he has overcome the world for you. So no matter what you go through, you will win. Are you still there? And that means that I can have my peace in him. So if my faith is strong, I can live a peaceful life. That peaceful life does not remove, it's not the absence of trouble. It's just the presence of God. Are you still there? So it's not the fact that there is no trouble. The troubles are absent. No. It's simply because God is with me. The psalmist said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are you still there? You've gone home. So as long as we know, and what I'm driving at in this is that there is therefore, if I can get myself to that place of operating in strong faith, I can always enjoy peace, always enjoy victory. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. The scripture says, now may the God of all hope, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. It means that when I am believing God, when I'm in that state of trusting God and believing God, I will be filled with peace and joy.
It also means that when you claim that you are believing God, but you look morose, we know that you are lying. Are you there? And say, I have everything. Alpha, I say, far above principality and power. Are we? But the way you are saying it, you are far above principality and power. We know that is a lie. Are you still with me? You know, you say, oh, how you feel? You say, I'm strong. We know you don't believe anything. Are you still there, anybody? Because when you believe, there is joy and peace that comes with believing. There is a way you behave that is not rational. We can't take it and put it beside what is happening around you, and it will make sense to an ordinary mind. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So we said there are certain things that will help you, you know, to keep your faith strong, to walk in strong faith. We said number one is what? Your focus on God. Okay? Your focus on God. And we talked about the key verse, Hebrews 11:11. We said what? By faith, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, for she believed God. Abby? Now, the point is this. We made that point, and you can go back and listen to that. But she had faith in God. Not faith even in her own faith. Because many of us are struggling because we're trying to believe in our own faith. We're trying to, my faith is strong enough. In fact, my faith is too small. No. Just believe God. You know, Paul was telling them in Acts chapter 26, I believe verse 8. He was telling them, he was defending himself before the council. And he said to them, he said, look, these things we are talking about. We say, go, there was a Christ. We say he died. We say God raised him after 3 days. Why are you people struggling with believing that? He said, why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? He was saying the moment we are talking about God, all marks of impossibility should disappear. Are you there? The moment we are talking about God, you should let it go. Anything is possible, as long as it's not contrary to God's word. Anything is possible where God is concerned. And so, you don't believe in your own faith, you believe in God. Can I have an amen? And as long as you keep your focus upon God, that it is God I'm trusting, it's not myself. I'm not the one to do it. Somebody say, how do you believe God? You know, you pray for the sick and all of that. I believe God. That's what I do. If my job is to pray for the sick, to lay hands on the sick. It's God's job to heal them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And as long as it's God that we're talking about, as long as it's God I'm expecting to heal them, nothing is out of bounds. Are you still there? I expect blind eyes to open because it's God we're talking about. You know, sometimes you're praying. I don't want to take too much time recap. You're praying and you're trying to pray for people on the healing line, and they are trying to describe how terrible their condition is. And if you're not the one asking, you know, why do you want to convince me that situation is terrible, is incurable? Why are you trying to convince me? You know, if as long as it's God we're talking about, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Are you still there? So if we keep our focus on God, you know that whatever you are believing God for, whatever you are going through, and you are trusting that you are going to come out of it, you are trusting that things will turn around. Listen, the reason why it should turn around is because of God, not because of you. In Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call upon me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. So there are many great and mighty things you don't even have any idea of. So leave it to God. Can I hear you say leave it to God? Number two, we said you should conclude. Because in trusting God, a vital thing you need is God's word. Conclude. But how you handle God's word, how you respond to God's word, depends on certain decisions you have made about God's word. And that the decision you need to make about God's word is to conclude that God's word is final on any matter. Are you there? That it is final on any matter. Psalm 119 verse 89, he said, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So whatever God has said is the end of the matter. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then we described, if you remember then, we were talking about Abraham. The fact that God told Abraham, go and sacrifice your son, your only son. And yet Abraham went. Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. But the Bible says that in doing so, in taking that son and wanting to sacrifice that son, Abraham had concluded that God had also told him that in this particular son, his seed will be raised. So if God is saying that I should go and kill that same son, he said he had concluded in his mind that the one that God has said must come to pass, meaning that God has an intention of raising this boy from the dead. That after I kill him, God will have to raise him from the dead, because God has said that my seed will come from him. That's how serious we should be with God's word. That if I see where it is written, I refuse to accept anything else can be over and above what God has said. Hallelujah. Number three, keep the circumstances away from your view. Keep the circumstances away from your view. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. That is, we talked about first word, focus on God. Now I'm saying don't focus on the problem. Can I have an amen? Amen? Don't focus on the problem. There are too many people who are trusting God for something, but they are too focused on the problem that they are faced with. So Romans chapter 4 and verse 19, the Bible says, still talking about Abraham, he said, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. That's my emphasis. He did not consider. The word consider there means to dwell on. He did not dwell on his own body, which is already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Abraham refused to focus on his body, which is already dead, or the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he refused to be thinking about that. If you're going to operate in strong faith, you'll have to learn how not to, or how to control your mind. And make sure that you are thinking on the right things only. Can I have an amen? Let me read you the message translation of that. The message translation says, Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it is hopeless. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it is hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't focus on his own impotence, nor survey the decades of Sarah's infertility. If he kept looking at any of those two things consistently, he would do what? He would give up. Are you still there? So many times, what militates against people's strong faith is that they are also spending too much time looking at the contrary situation, looking at the contrary evidence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so that is the thing that is shaking their faith. I mean, the clinics, I've met people who, by the time they show up in the hospital, they know almost much more than the doctor. They have read all kinds of things. They have read that how this condition kills everybody that has it. They have read how it is totally untreatable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They are so full of so much information that you will struggle to get them to faith, to believe God. Even just in this pandemic year, there are some people who have read more of COVID-19 than the medical doctor. Are you still there? They listen to the news 7 times a day. 6 a.m., they put on the TV. They hear the what? COVID-19 update. How many cases are diagnosed? How many people died? Then they look at global figures. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Then they read about the story about the man who just died in their neighborhood. Then they follow the thing too closely, such that they are filled with fear. Am I saying that we should never listen to the news? No, I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying you need to watch what your mind is fixed upon, because it's going to determine how much peace you can have. It's going to determine how much faith you can operate in. Are you still there? You know, years ago, I think I was in 100 level, I went to the library to read. Well, not just the library, but I particularly remember that day. And I had this terrible chest pain, I had to pack my things and manage my way back to the room to sleep. I just went to sleep. I'm talking about daytime. I stayed on the bed till the next day. I couldn't go anywhere. And I had repeated sharp pain like that. I had it repeated. And I was struggling. I was trusting. I looked at God's word. I was standing upon God's word. And I kept feeling, you know, one of the things that kept coming to my mind was somebody that had just spoken to me not too long before then about how someone trusted God and died. They say, he's believing God. He says he's believing God. So he refused to take drugs. So he refused to blah, blah, blah. Then he died. The thing was playing like an album, you know, like what do you call it? A scratched album. How many people ever dealt with a plate? You are old enough. How many people, we know your ages now. How many people dealt with plate? You know, yes, sir. You know, when the plate is scratched, you know, the way we say, this is the day of the Lord. This is until you go there, you move the thing away from the scratch. So the thing was playing like a scratch album in my head. You know, I kept hearing this lady's voice and the person who died. You know that this person died. You know, it was a war. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I had to then tell myself I need to separate myself from all of this. In fact, partly because of that, I told myself I'm not even going to the hospital because I don't even want to know what it is. I need to refocus myself. I'm not saying don't go to the hospital, so don't take this soundbite out of whatever now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying at that time, I needed something radical because my mind was in trouble. My mind would not allow me to believe God because I was busy hearing this scratched album. And that's what happens to many of us. I never did. Of course, the end of the story is that the thing disappeared. You know, but many of us, we have spent too much time. We keep spending too much time. By the time some people now, by the time they cough or they sneeze once, bah, they go to the internet. Causes of sneezing. One, this, two, this. Then if when you sneeze, your nose was itching you, it means, aha, then they start reading about that one too. And then you want to believe God. It's going to be very difficult. You are too filled with something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's okay. You are sick. Go to the hospital. Get a diagnosis. Focus your faith. But that's just about all you want to know. Get just essential information. But don't become somebody that focuses on that kind of thing all of the time. Are you still there? You know, for some of us, the focus is coming from people we talk to. We are always talking to people. We are always talking negativity. They will tell you about everybody is not working for. They will tell you all the people who are in trouble. They will tell you all the people who are losing their jobs. They will tell you how everybody's income is going down. You sit with people who only talk negativity. And in fact, by the time you haven't heard from them, say, my friend has not even called me today. You pick your phone. Then you call, say, my friend, what's going on now? What's up? What's happening? Are you there? Listen, one of the simple things we can do is compare. If you are wondering about yourself and saying, why am I so fearful? Why am I so depressed? Why am I so anxious? Ask yourself, how much time do you spend listening to God's word? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. How much time do I spend feeding my spirit on God's word, and how much time do I spend feeding my flesh with fear? The answer will be obvious to you why you are so fearful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's one of just a few things. It's either you are filling yourself with too much of the fear and the negativity and very little of God's word, or insufficient to match the negativity you are feeding on, or you have zero God's word. Are you there? But the negativity we find, you know, it always finds a way of getting to you. So if you have zero, somebody say, I don't listen to negativity, I don't even put on news, but I don't also read the word, you are in trouble. Because that other one, we find a way to get to you. The word is what might not find a way to get to you easily. You have to be deliberate about it. When you get to the motor park, people will be talking. Abi, you go to the salon, they will be talking. They will talk about all kinds of things you don't even want to hear. But you won't get there and somebody's playing a message. Or people are sharing God's word. It's rare. Are you still with me, anybody? So we have to be deliberate. Don't focus on the wrong things. If you are going to operate in strong faith, listen, go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Let's read a few scriptures. Then maybe I can do one more point. Galatians chapter 6. Are you getting anything yet? So one of the things that I've discovered is that if you see anybody who seems to operate in strong faith, it's not a mystery. Did you hear what I said? It's not a mystery. It's not even a special thing that God just loved this guy and gave him a special gift. I discovered that there are things that they do that makes them who they are. Why would Smith Wigglesworth raise over 10 people from the dead? He was deliberate about how he lived. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The man won't even read the newspaper. He refused. He reads the Bible almost every hour. 1 hour can't pass without him opening the Bible and reading. So if he sees anything and he's just constantly in faith, there's a reason why. It's obvious. If I do what he did, then I will get what he got. Are you still there? Why was John Wesley? Maybe one day I will even talk about John Wesley so that people will see. It's not John Wesley. John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist Church. If you read about John Wesley, you will be flabbergasted. You know why they are called Methodists? Because the guy was, he believed, I think I remember two of the three core things he talks about. One, okay, he talks about doctrine. He said that I'm afraid that the church, the Methodist church, will depart from the way of God and the revival of God if it does not hold on to three things. He said, number one, doctrine. The word doctrine is teaching. He said, number two, the spirit, the flow of the spirit. And number three, I think is why I was saying that, number three is discipline. So they are called Methodists because of the discipline. What was the discipline? John Wesley believed they were methodical about the things of the spirit. You must stop every 2 hours, every 3 hours and pray. You must fast twice a week. It is not an option. It is not, I feel like I don't. No, no, no. You must do it. So that kind of discipline and dedication to the things of God, John Wesley will be preaching and people will be falling down. I mean, no layer, just as I'm preaching and people just collapse on it, off the chair. I know you won't believe that if you look at Methodist Church now. But that's where things came from. So why am I saying that? I'm talking about the dedication and the discipline with the things of God. So people can live by faith when they are that dedicated to the things of God. So they made up their minds. We don't want to focus on the negativity. We want to focus on God's word. Can I have an amen? Galatians 6, are you there? Listen, verse 7. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he, verse 8, who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the spirit will of the spirit reap what? Everlasting life. He said, you know what I like most about it? Is how he started in verse 7. And he said, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. This is as simple as it is. What you sow is what you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. So if you are getting fear and all that, it's coming from the corruption the seeds you have sown to the flesh. You know, it's like somebody wandering and say, I'm afraid usually in the night, but horror movie is your favorite genre of movie. You say, which movies do you like? I say, horror movie. Then you say, I'm afraid in the night. I don't know why I'm afraid in the night. I know. Are you still there? It's what you are focused on. Don't be deceived. Are you still there? You know, you listen, you say, why is Kenneth Copeland the way he is? Kenneth Copeland started off and said he was reading 40, no, not Copeland wasn't reading 40 chapters. He was doing 8 hours, I think, a day. 8 hours a day. in God's word. 8 hours. Can you imagine what will happen to you if you are spending 8 hours a day in studying the Bible? Another person said he was reading 40 chapters a day. What will happen? What goes on here? There will be no space. No space for fear. No space for doubt. No space for any of that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's a choice. It says, don't focus on what? The negative things. Philippians chapter 4. Maybe that's a good one to project. I usually don't like projections, but that's a good one to project. Philippians chapter 4. No, let's before we go there, go to Hebrews. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. Are you still awake this morning? I said, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, I want you to see. It says, and truly, this is talking about the children of Israel. He said, and truly, if they had called to mind. So he was talking about them when they came out of Egypt. He said, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had what? Opportunity to return. Let me simply say what that says. He's saying that when they came out of that place, if they kept thinking about the place where they came from, the opportunities to go back there will present themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? And truly, the times when they thought about it, they wanted to go back to slavery. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the times when they thought about that, they said, we are eating only manna, we are not getting any meat, and they started thinking about it, then they started complaining, and they said, look, in Egypt where we came from, we are eating meat and fish for free. It wasn't for free, it was at the price of slavery. But the opportunity was about to present itself because they were thinking about it. So that's what the Bible is saying here. He said if they had been thinking about the country where they came from, then they would have had the opportunity to go back there. Every time you are thinking and you focus on something, the opportunities to go back into slavery to that thing will arise. That thing will enslave you. Are you there? Okay, so Philippians chapter 4. So one of the problems for people not operating in strong faith is that they are focused on the wrong things. You know, when Moses came to the children of Israel in captivity, he came there and he said to them, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. That's the message he had for Pharaoh. And he told the people, God has sent me for your deliverance. The Bible says that they could not even hear what Moses was saying. Exodus chapter 6 verse 9. They couldn't hear what Moses was saying because of the anguish of heart. They were too filled with sorrow that even God's word to them was entering, you know, like they used to tell us in Sunday school as children, was entering here and coming out here. So sometimes we are too worried, too full of worry, too full of anxiety, but the word of God cannot penetrate and have an effect in us. Are you there? So we'll have to make deliberate efforts to cut out certain things. I'm not going to listen to this. I'm not going to watch this. Some people watch too many of the Africa magic Nollywood thing, such that they are afraid of juju. You know what I'm talking about now? They're afraid. If anybody says to them, I will curse you, they say, yeah, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. And it's because your faith in those things have been built up by the things that you have been focusing on. Are you with me? If you were focusing just on God's word and not on those things, you will find that somebody will say that and you will laugh. The Bible says what? At famine and destruction you shall laugh. In the book of Job. When God is with you, at famine and destruction, you will stand like this and you will laugh. Are you in Philippians?
Yes, sir.
So it begins and it says what? Finally. Maybe I'll just stop on this one point. I won't take the next one again. It's okay. Anybody, are you with me? As long as we're getting it, there's no speed. Amen. Amy Semple McPherson used to say that the race is a marathon, not a sprint. Amy McPherson is the founder of the Foursquare Gospel Church. She says this race is a marathon and not a sprint. So I won't try to sprint through it. I'm just flowing with God. Amen. When he wants me to run, I will run. When he wants me to slow, I will slow. Hallelujah. So Philippians chapter 4. That's where we ended this morning. It says what? Finally, verse 8. Finally, brethren, Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Can I hear you say meditate? On these things. Okay? So it's giving us, a checklist. Checklist that if whatever is coming through your mind doesn't match any of these things, it's not pure, it's not lovely, it's not edifying. Edifying means builds people up. It doesn't build you up. There's nothing praiseworthy. There's no virtue in it. He said, if it doesn't match any of those check boxes, he said, then do not meditate on those ones. Somebody say meditate. Yes. Another version says simply fix your mind. So the word meditate is to fix your mind. Okay? And that means that it's like a bird that can fly over your head. And that's okay. The bird can fly over everybody's head. But the bird doesn't have to make a nest on your head. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that means that thoughts come to everybody. Everybody have doubtful thoughts. Everybody will have a fearful thought that says, do you think that this is going to happen? Do you think this is not going to happen? Everybody faces that. But not everybody allows that thought to stay. And the word meditate means don't allow, in this instance, in this context, don't allow the thoughts of things that are not praiseworthy, that are not edifying, that are not encouraging, that are not lovely, that are not pure. Don't allow such thoughts to stay on your mind for too long. They will weaken your faith. Can I have an amen? So make up your mind. I'm going to fix my mind on good things only. Somebody said, but how do I do that? You just speak against it. When those thoughts come to your mind, speak up. I refuse to think like that. I refuse to think those words. And then begin to speak what God's word has said. The one that says, oh, when the thoughts come, and they say, oh, do you think that you will ever get that thing that you need? You say, yes, because my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You have to speak. You counter thoughts with words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you want to operate in strong faith, you will have to control what your mind is fixated upon. I've said two things, if you listen carefully. One, in how to do that. And I've said, number one, take away the sources of negativity. Take away the sources of negativity. The Bible says, go away from the fool if you do not perceive the words of knowledge from him. In the book of Proverbs. Are you there? Turn from the fool if you don't perceive the words of knowledge from him. It means that there are certain conversations you turn away from. You're talking. The person says certain things. You just say, sorry, I have to go. Yeah, I have to go. I didn't lie, Abby. I have to go because what is coming out is doing something to me that I don't want. Sorry, I need to leave now. Sorry, I need to do something else. I have something to go and do. Yeah, go and do something. There's something to do. There's always something to do. But you need to get away from the poison that is coming out there. So it says, turn when you don't perceive the lips of knowledge. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, the telephone has a switch. The radio has a switch. The TV has a switch that says on, off. I mean, it puts the power in your hands to say, no, I'm not watching that. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, I've had enough of that. You turn off the radio. No, this is causing me to fear. You turn it off. Turn off the sources of negativity. Otherwise, you will end up focusing on those things. Are you there? And I've said number two, deal with the negativity in your head by speaking God's word. When it comes, don't just think in your mind. And when those terrible thoughts are running in your mind, don't just think in your mind. Why? No. Begin to declare. Begin to speak out against them because Jesus said, take no, in fact, that's number three. Number three is that do not entrench those thoughts by speaking those thoughts. Did you get me? So, one, turn off the sources. Number two, don't allow those thoughts to take root in your heart by speaking them. So you have fears, then you start speaking those fears. You start speaking those fears to everybody. You meet them, you start discussing every negativity. I'm not even sure that anyone can make it in this life. I'm not even sure that one will not die the way things are going. Don't say it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Except perhaps you are talking to someone that's about to help you, but don't begin just declaring it. Even when you are alone, you know some people, even when they're alone in the bathroom, they are speaking. And they are speaking all of the negative thoughts in their minds, they are speaking it out. You are like, God, your words have power. Your words create your world. So don't speak those negativities. Contrary to that, speak what God's word says about you. So I'm not saying be silent. I'm saying don't be silent. But don't say the negative things on your mind. Begin to say deliberately. Every time the thought comes, begin to say deliberately what God has said in his word concerning that matter. Can I have an amen? Let's stand on our feet this morning. Begin to give God praise and thank him for his word. Thank him for his word, his life-changing word. Are you here this morning? You need to make peace with God. And if you're also watching me online, please do so right now. You need to make peace with God. And that means that you need to be born again. You need to give your life to Christ. Or you are rededicating your life, as we call it, meaning that you have done that before, you're giving your life to Christ. But right now, you feel that you've drawn away from God. You feel that you've walked away from God. You are not where you should be. You don't have that, what we call the assurance of salvation. But you can have it. You can be sure that if you drop dead now, you know where you're going, and you're going to heaven. How can you do that? Just by putting your right hand on your chest, wherever you may be. Wherever you may be, even now. And say the prayer, meaning every single word. And you say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I believe that death on the cross was for me. I believe your rising was also for me, that I may have peace with God. I believe it with all my heart. And this morning, I declare so. Just what I believe. Thank you, because according to your word in Romans 10, I am saved. Haven't believed and confessed. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who said that. Thank you because you are able to keep them. You drew them, you keep them. They go from faith to faith, strength to strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.